Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. She was the daughter of a king, and she married one too. Yet her story was a sad one, and for a minute there, a bad one. We can still learn valuable lessons from this woman, even if it's what not to do. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. I'm delighted you've joined me as we're going to walk verse by verse, and oh yes, word by word, through the story of one of the lesser-known bad girls of the Bible. Now, we'll be hanging out in 1 Samuel 18 and 19 and 2 Samuel 3 and 6, but don't panic, not every verse, just the ones that focus in on today's biblical character. You'll find a Bible study guide to go with it, myfaithradio.com on the Word by Word program page, and you'll also find it on lizcurtishiggs.com on my featured book page for Bad Girls of the Bible. So she was bad for a moment, and her name is Michal. I know. Honestly, it sounds like you're clearing your throat. It's spelled M-I-C-H-A-L, almost like Michael, but with no E. So was Michal pretty as a princess or a royal pain in the neck? Well, the first thing the Bible reveals about her, and I love this, is her heart. We're told in 1 Samuel 18:20, now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David. She didn't just love him, she was in love with David. It indicates a far deeper kind of emotion. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. In fact, the message says he rubbed his hands in anticipation. Was it because he wanted David for a son-in-law? Oh, no. King Saul wanted his rival eliminated. See, David was this handsome young musician in his court, and he was way too popular and way too applauded and way too praised. And honestly, Saul's ego couldn't bear it another minute. So we're told in 1 Samuel 18:21, I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him. Also translated a stumbling block, a trap, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. The Philistines will defeat him. The Philistines will kill him. That's exactly what Saul wanted, because then there would be no blood on his hands. So Saul said to David, now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law. Wait a minute, what was the first one? Well, David had already turned down an offer to marry the older daughter of Saul, Merab. In fact, David had protested, who am I and what is my family or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law? That's what he'd said. We aren't quite sure why. We don't know if David was being humble. Possible. It's also possible Merab wasn't much to look at. It's also even more possible that he knew what King Saul was up to. Well, the bride price for Michal, there's nothing tasteful about this, was 100 Philistine foreskins. Lovely. But Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines, 1 Samuel 18:25 tells us. Clearly, he did not want to give up his throne to David, who had God's favor. Well, David went into battle without dying in the process, and he brought back double what he needed to, 200 foreskins. So Saul had no choice. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage. So she's younger than her sister, but we don't really know how young. I mean, women often were married soon after they were able to give birth, so she could be as young as 14 years old. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, so these should have been good things, right? I mean, he's got a godly son-in-law and a happy daughter. But that didn't work for Saul because Saul was poisoned by jealousy. Saul became, the Bible tells us, still more afraid of David, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. 1 Samuel 18:29. Well, with a father-in-law like that, honestly, did this marriage even have a chance? Michal was caught in the middle. Should she please daddy, or should she please her new husband? Well, we know what the Bible tells us, to leave your parents and cleave to your spouse. In fact, growing up, my bestie in high school grew up in a very religious family, and her parents told her, if you come back home for anything more than a quick stop by, but if you come back home, never come back without your husband. She was to cleave to her new husband and not see herself as the daughter of this couple anymore, but rather as the wife of. So let's see how Michal does with that. Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and kill him in the morning, 1 Samuel 19:11. Good heavens, he didn't die by the hands of the Philistines, so he's just going to make sure it happens. This sounds to me, honestly, like something on one of those advice shows on daytime TV. You know, my father-in-law wants me dead, and they bring them both out on stage and, you know, have a raucous thing. Well, that's not how it works here, because Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow, you'll be killed. 1 Samuel 19:11. So, Michal cleaved to her husband. Good for her. Not a bad girl here. And she helped him get away. So Michal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. 1 Samuel 19:12. Shades of Rahab here. Don't you love this? Lowering the man over the wall. And just as the two spies escaped, David escaped. Then Michal went a step further. She took an idol and laid it on the bed, covering it with a garment and putting some goat's hair at the head. I love that final touch. Now, this is a big idol. If it's supposed to look like her husband, a grown man, this isn't a little handful of household idols. This is a big idol with a goat's hair toupee. When Saul sent the men to capture David, Michal said, "He is ill." Well, no, he's gone, actually, but she lied to protect her husband, frankly, as Rahab lied to protect the two spies. But what's wild here is him being ill did not slow King Saul down for one moment. King Saul sent the men back to see David and told them, "Bring him up to me in his bed so that I may kill him." Can you imagine? Having his, what he thinks, ill son-in-law is brought back to him, and he'll be easier to kill if he's lying in bed. Well, of course, the men went back, and all they found was that big idol with the goat's hair. So Saul turned on his daughter. "Why did you deceive me like this and send my enemy away so that he escaped?" 1 Samuel 19:17. Well, I'm thinking, Saul, it's because she loved him. He was her husband. She did what she should have done. She spared her man. But interestingly, Saul blames his daughter, not David. We are seeing what kind of a father Saul really was, which may explain, as we get to know Michal better, why her story ends so tragically. Michal told her father, "He said to me, 'Let me get away. Why should I kill you?'" 1 Samuel 19:17. So I think she's going for a sympathy vote here. "Daddy, he spared me." So far, Michal is a heroine. She defied her bad dad and she saved her good husband. And that's all fantastic. But now she doesn't hear from David for 14 years. And if she was about 14 when she married him, and this whole let's kill David business, I'm sure, came very quickly into the marriage. So maybe she was 14 when she said goodbye to him, and now it's been half a lifetime for her, another 14 years. And, of course, by that point, David has taken other wives, the beautiful and brilliant Abigail among them. So I think it's easy for us to feel sorry for Michal at this point, very sympathetic towards her. In fact, I just got to be honest. a whole lot of my readers were pretty unhappy that I included Michal in with the bad girls of the Bible. I mean, Jezebel and Delilah and Lot's wife, that's all fine. But what did poor Michal do? Well, let's watch what happens next and see what you think. David finally brings Michal back into his life, sadly, when it's politically expedient, not out of love. David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, demanding, "Give me my wife Michal," 2 Samuel 3:14. So he's demanding. We don't get any sense of, "I've really missed her. Please bring her home to me." No, he needs her for some purpose. Well, by this time, Michal is married to somebody else, which is kind of interesting because a man was permitted to have multiple wives, but a woman was not allowed to have multiple husbands. But you see, 1 Samuel 25:44 says, "But Saul had given his daughter, Michal, David's wife," so there was no divorce there, she was still married to David, "to Paltiel." Well, the king Saul could ignore the law of the land because, frankly, he was the law of the land. What we don't know is whether his married daughter, Michal, took this second husband willingly, out of loneliness, submissively, wanting to honor her dad, or with tears and gnashing of teeth. We don't know. We only know she married the man, and now she's about to lose him. So Ish-bosheth had her taken away from her husband, Paltiel. Oh, the melodrama! Her husband, however, went with her. He followed her, weeping behind her all the way to Bahurim. Wow, we have no record of Michal shedding any tears. Whatever feelings she might have had for Paltiel, a husband for her for a long time, she left him behind. And Saul's men told Paltiel, "Go back home." So he went back, 2 Samuel 3:16. We can only assume weeping all the way. Meanwhile, Michal returned to her first husband, the love of her young life. Have you ever carried a torch for somebody? I mean, you know, like somebody from high school, that person you went to the prom with, your first love. Well, you know how this works. At some point in that relationship, the person stopped calling, stopped texting, stopped looking in your direction, and you were heartbroken. You went through a great deal of anguish to finally get that person out of your system, right? But then the phone rings, and your heart skips a beat, and they say you want to get together, and yes, you do. Poor Michal. Pushed around by her father, deserted by her first husband, separated from her second husband. Honestly, I would not really call this the life of a princess, an easy life. She had to have feelings of abandonment, frustration, helplessness. Honestly, we can only imagine what she's gone through. The hard thing for me, I'm just going to tell you as a Bible teacher, is not having the emotional subtext of so many of these scenes. We're told what people do and what people say, very seldom told what they think or what they feel. Maybe because in the long run, what matters to God is what we do and what we say. So at this point, Michal honestly is still not a bad girl. We are still on Team Michal, but that is about to change. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. You can listen again to the podcast on myfaithradio.com or lizcurtishiggs.com. While you're over there, I'm hoping you'll sign up for my monthly Bible study. We can connect daily, Facebook or Twitter. Check out Bad Girls of the Bible, many of the other books I've had the joy of writing for you for 25 years. I can't even believe that. 25 years this year. Most of all, though, I appreciate you spending time with me today. So, it's our final scene where the bad girl shows us her true colors. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Key phrase there in 2 Samuel 6:12. This was a happy day to bring the ark, which brought with it the blessing of God, into the city of David, the oldest settled neighborhood in Jerusalem. big deal, much rejoicing. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. 2 Samuel 6:14. So he danced, and he spun around with abandon, one of the translations tells us, wearing only a linen cloth around his waist. So, can I just say, David, well, there was a lot on display, all right? There is no way that anybody missed his entrance because it was a spectacle. While he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. My goodness, we're back to Rahab's story again in Jericho. You got the picture here? It was big, it was loud, and this did not go over well at home. The Bible tells us Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. So she's high up above him. Interesting, she's called the daughter of Saul here, not the wife of David, the daughter of Saul. In fact, that phrase appears several times in her story, which tells us where her loyalties rested. Even though Saul was long dead, she was still daddy's girl. And not simply his child by birth and blood. Sadly, Michal also had her father's jealous, vengeful heart. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she clapped, waved, let down her hair like Rapunzel, shouted praises to the king and to his God. She did not. Nope. 2 Samuel 6:16 makes it very clear she despised him in her heart. David's eyes and heart were focused upward, worshiping his God. But Michal's eyes and heart were focused downward, despising her man. She is, frankly, not impressed with this flash dance number. We're told the CEB says she lost all respect for him. Another translation, she was filled with contempt for him. Remember when we first met Michal, she was in love with David. But now, the Good News translation tells us, she was disgusted with him. All the years of bitterness have come to the surface. All that venom spewed out when she finally saw her first husband. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, there it is again, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "I love you. I'm so glad to be home." Sorry, that might be the LRV, the Lizzie Revised Version, but that's not what 2 Samuel 6:20 tells us. No, Michal said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." The translators, can I just be honest, went to town on this one. They call him a dirty old man, a vulgar exhibitionist, exclamation point, and the message says, a burlesque street dancer. My goodness. And honestly, Michal's words could not have been more demeaning, because she spoke of the slave of a servant, that's the lowest of the low in their society. So she is putting her husband down at that level, lowest of the low. And David, of course, was not amused. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." Rather than your father. He knew exactly where to hurt her most. And he's not done yet. David says, "I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by the slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." 2 Samuel 6:22. Of course, it wasn't the honor of the slave girls that David was going for. He wanted to honor God by debasing himself, making himself low so that God would be lifted up. Well, unfortunately, this princess, she didn't honor David. And really sadly, she didn't honor God. Which begs the question, did Michal ever love or honor God? You see, we were told back at the start that she was in love with David. But we have never been told in her story and never been shown that she loved God. Sadly, that assumption can be made that if you have a godly husband, that therefore you are a godly wife, or in reverse, if you're a godly wife, that you automatically would have a godly husband. But many of us know that's not how it is. I am one blessed woman, I've just got to tell you. For the last 32 years, Lord, may there be many more, I have had a godly husband. And still, I look at Michal's story, and I think of the times that some things have come out of my mouth I wish had not, some words I have spoken I wish I could take back. I'm grateful that my husband knows I love him, and even more knows I love the Lord above him, and that's what's held us together. But without that rock at the center of the marriage, there is no hope, and that's what we see here. We see a man who loved and honored God, and we see a wife who shows no evidence, nothing written in Scripture about her actions or her words that she loved God. So the final word we get on Michal is the last verse in 2 Samuel 6. It's a single sentence, and it's very telling. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. 2 Samuel 6:23. Why no children? Well, we aren't told. Either David wanted nothing else to do with her, that would seem quite likely, and so no possibility of her giving him sons. And the other wives of David gave him sons, so we know no issue would be with him, no problem there. He may have simply withheld himself from Michal, or God closed her womb because she didn't love him, didn't serve him, didn't worship him, didn't honor him, wasn't worthy of David's seed. And we have to understand that having no children, and in particular no sons, in that time and place would have brought great shame on Michal for the rest of her life. I mean, her outcome is tragic. But the lesson for us is clear. However justified we might think our anger is, our bitterness is, our disappointment, whatever has not gone right in our lives, God is still God, and he is worthy of our worship. In Bad Girls of the Bible, Michal is labeled as bad for a moment. But oh, what a moment. It cost her everything. Her sharp words to David echo through the centuries. But her disregard for the Lord speaks to us in the here and now. Now, let's be honest. David was not a perfect man. At some point, you and I will be talking about the story with Bathsheba. So, clearly, not a perfect man, not a perfect husband, not perfect, but he was God's man. Over in the New Testament, in Acts 13:22, we're told, God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. So though David is not a role model as a husband, when it came to worshiping God, he got it right. But unfortunately, our bad for a moment Michal did not. Heavenly Father, these stories about people who don't love you, don't worship you, don't honor you, don't glorify you, don't serve you, they're hard stories, Lord. We don't want to be there. We don't want that to be said of us, that we were left with nothing, no glory to lift up to you, no children to turn back to you, to serve you, nothing. Lord, that's not the ending any of us want. So, Father, help us learn from Michal that cleaving to the earthly father instead of the earthly husband isn't right, but far more, not cleaving to you, that's what will cost us everything. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Hope you'll listen again on the podcast at myfaithradio.com or lizcurtishiggs.com. Until next time, thanks for opening God's Word with me. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.